Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome to another installment of the Geekeasy Podcast. I'm Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
What's going on, John?
Hey, well, I'm still nervous about the camera.
Still nervous about the camera?
I'm not nervous. It loves me.
Yeah. So here we are. We're filming another podcast. This is actually our third podcast with the camera on now.
Yes.
Because we did two of them so close together last time. But here we are. We're back.
It almost felt like it was the same night.
It almost did.
Almost.
Weird, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's been kind of fun putting putting the segments on YouTube has been fun. I'm hoping that'll just help bring some more attention to us. And I think it did help because we've got a lot of fan interaction this week, which is really exciting.
It's going to be it's going to end up turning into like our first viewer mail episode.
Yeah, I really think it is because we have a ton of questions and comments that we're going to go through on this particular episode. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then, I mean, beyond that, we've got a couple of trailers and such we can talk about. Some minor casting things, but it hasn't been a huge week for news. So
really hasn't, but I think we're getting ready to get into some fun stuff. I think the next time we sit down to record is going to be a much anticipated podcast from us.
Yeah, because Worst-tastic 4 hits theaters
this week. Worst-tastic 4
is
on the horizon.
Yeah, and we've talked so much about that movie already, we pretty much feel obligated. I still encourage, as of now, maybe I'll change my tune, but the reviews don't make me think I will.
Yeah.
But I encourage, as of now, no one spend money on this movie.
Yeah,
Because we don't want to give Fox the idea that they can keep making these movies.
Unless,
like I said, if we see it and change my mind, Danny and I will get to see it for free. So that's not being part of the problem.
Luckily, you work at a movie theater.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll do that.
We're not giving them money.
And then we'll let you know. If we're wrong, then we're wrong. But,
we've always been real big on this podcast about trying to be fair with everything and not judging, but man, have we been on the attack on this movie?
We really have
since the get go. We haven't even given it a chance.
They think we give DC a hard time.
I know, right?
They got nothing on this.
Yeah, Worst-tastic 4. Hey, and with this movie coming out, if there's any time to be using hashtag Worst-tastic 4, it's right now. I want to see that trend this weekend. Worst-tastic 4. I think that'll be amazing. Yeah, we should start by mentioning that there was some initial news that there was an embargo on reviews for this movie.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to be released until at least Thursday, if not Friday, originally at some point. And then all of a sudden, earlier on Wednesday morning, I think, they just started trickling in.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, very
weird. I wonder if it... I don't know if it's because maybe the movie is playing on Thursdays some places, so the Wednesday was considered 24 hours beforehand or what, but I think the official release is Friday, right?
Yeah, and it's clear, Friday's the official release, and it's pretty clear, I didn't see anything today about Fox being upset about the reviews getting out or anything, I don't think a bunch of critics just decided to break a bunch of rules or anything. It seems to be something they're totally okay with. I just remember specifically reading about a week ago that it was one of those, here's another bad sign. Fox isn't even going to let anybody review it until right before it comes out. Maybe it was a 48-hour thing, but that hardly makes sense anyway because the reviews never really come out until a day or two before.
Now, were the reviews that were coming out, were they from some pretty reputable sites, or were they just
they were mostly the Hollywood Reporter and Variety and stuff like that.
Because I didn't know if maybe the embargo was keeping those big guns from doing it, but I don't really know how they could stop a random guy from putting up his own review.
If he gets to see it, then you're right. But maybe that's it too. Maybe they let certain people see it and they allowed some of them to come through or something. Maybe some of the very big ones they lifted the embargo on and all of the smaller ones. Because it hasn't been a flood. There's been 10 or 15 at most. Earlier on the Wednesday when I checked, it was there was 11 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. And it was sitting at 18%.
Oh, my goodness.
18%. That is exactly tied with the modern classic Pixels.
Ooh, wow, that's been getting some terrible reviews.
Yeah, and that's
Did you
been
see
getting
that?
Torn up. No, I haven't.
Like, I kind of want to see it.
I wanted to real bad until all the reviews came out.
I know. It's getting destroyed.
Yeah.
It's
I'm still willing to sit through it. I just don't know if I'll make the effort at this point.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of the same way. It's like one of those things where I was thinking, if it shows up at the drive-in and I'm there,
yeah,
I'd like to watch it. But yeah. I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to see Pixels. We are going to go see Worst-tastic Four because I feel like we're obligated
because
we're doing it for you guys. We're obligated because of all this trash talk.
Also for morbid curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely, right? We
so
got to know.
Prove to ourselves that we can predict the future.
I think it's funny because like the news reports that keep coming out, like there's news reports about the reviews because, come on, everybody is in the same boat as us. Everybody's expecting this movie to be awful. I think that's kind of been the general consensus this whole time. So all these news stories are coming out that are just like, the first reviews of Fantastic Four are coming in, and they're just as bad as we expected.
Yeah,
like, that's like the titles of these news stories. And then I saw one today that's like, the second round of reviews are coming in, and they're even worse than the first round. Like, it's cracking me up, but...
Yeah. Now, I will say, like, actually read, I mean, you look at the overall negativity of it, and it's bad. Actually reading several of the reviews today, and I only caught the first round, I didn't catch the second round, but actually reading several of them, most of them weren't full out tearing it apart.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything good to say about it. But there was that, you know, it wasn't like this is the worst movie I've ever seen, it was more just like bland, unimaginative, same old, you know, trying to shoehorn characters into a movie they don't necessarily fit into, not really giving any, you know, a couple of them kind of mentioned, like, the whole appeal to this movie should be the characters, except they spend so much time setting up the exposition that by the time you actually figure out who the characters are, there's no time for them to do anything, and then the movie just ends.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, well, maybe if they get a different director and bring back the same cast, maybe a second one could be good, but... You hate to, I mean, if the only positive thing you can say is that they might be able to make a better sequel, then that's not really a selling point for your movie.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know. And that's I don't like that mentality at all. And that's funny because, and we were just discussing this a little bit ago, that's almost the same things we were saying about, like, Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
We specifically weren't big fans of Man of Steel, but while talking about it, we have always said, now, if they address this issue, and this issue, that could improve things.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be almost like promoting their new movie with that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we shouldn't be told, well, this Fantastic Four movie is bad, FYI, going into it, but the sequel might be okay now because we've got a universe set up.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me. That doesn't work
you
for
don't
me.
Need, you don't need 2 hours and to charge everyone $12 to set up your world.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to do that in your own movie and then still be able to expand from there. That's what a lot of the reviews, too, another one of the common themes was a couple of them said... Basically, that this whole exercise was like a 2-hour preview for a movie that never happens.
Ugh.
Like they always felt like the whole thing, the entire time they're watching it, they just feel like they're being promised something. Like it's all building towards something, and then it just sort of stops.
That's
not
good.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's not good.
So,
man, yeah, it's a bit of a bummer, and this is just one of those things, like. I don't really get it either because I don't dislike what they've done with the X-Men movies. You know, Fox is done okay with the X-Men films, especially last couple, you know.
Again though, and, like every good X-Men movie has some combination of Hugh Jackman or Bryan Singer. Hugh Jackman made 2 pretty bad ones.
Oh.
You know, and neither of them had Bryan Singer involvement at all.
Right.
And Matthew Vaughn came in and made First Class. Because I thought First Class was very good.
Yeah.
But I didn't think First Class fit into the universe at all. I thought it was that, you know, one. And then they made one Wolverine movie that was really good.
Uh-huh. And I liked that
and
one,
that,
yeah.
And that had
not Origins, but The Wolverine.
Yeah, The Wolverine.
Yeah,
that had no Singer involvement. But that's 2 X-Men movies that they've made that have been pretty solid that didn't have Bryan Singer. And 2 absolutely putrid X-Men movies they made that didn't have Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, you can all pretty much go, well, Bryan Singer knows what he's doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those fine. And, I mean, also talking about Fox movies, we've now seen the trailer for Deadpool, I assume.
Yeah.
Which we can talk more about in a bit. But that movie looks like it's going to be, like, perfect.
Looks
like, the perfect
fun.
Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
So what is going on with Fantastic Four? Like, why did they go? And maybe it's just because Ryan Reynolds had a lot of say in Deadpool. I would imagine that after what happened with the one poop Wolverine movie, Ryan Reynolds really kind of stepped in and said, look, it's got to be done this way. But it's crazy to see Fox going so comic book with Deadpool and so anti-comic book with Fantastic Four.
I really think Deadpool is like the, what's the term, the redheaded stepchild of the Fox X-Men family there.
Yeah.
I don't know that Fox really had a clue what they were making.
Yeah.
Because that movie exists pretty much solely because of fans and the internet and all that stuff.
Pretty much.
Because when that first Wolverine movie came out and they had Ryan Reynolds to do it, and the general idea was, hey, Ryan Reynolds will be perfect for Deadpool, and they had talked about spinning off Deadpool, and then that movie tanked.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, we're not doing anything coming up from that movie. And there was that, you know, Ryan Reynolds and his crew, whoever else, who wanted to do it, going, well, can we still make Deadpool? And I was like, eh, maybe, but I don't think they knew what Deadpool was.
Yeah.
They just saw it as part of that failed Wolverine movie. And that had pretty much been talked about and talked about and talked about and put on the burner and put on the burner and put on the burner forever. And it didn't look like anything was going to happen. And then finally, like when Zero Hour came, when Ryan Reynolds was starting to say, you know, I'm about done talking about it because it's never happened. And then they did that test footage that got leaked to the internet that I'm pretty sure someone put on the internet
The
internet
for
would see it and go, you know. And that became immediately so popular. And got such buzz that I think Fox finally went, you know what, we still don't understand this project, but here's some money, you guys just go make it and let us know how it goes. So I don't know that Fox as the entity we always refer to it as, I don't know that the brass at Fox really has a clue what's going on. I may be totally wrong, again, I'm not in any of these boardrooms, but this is the impression I get, is that they were just like, okay, I guess we have a Deadpool movie now. Because all of the stuff they're doing, because look at the marketing for that movie, is making so much fun of Fox.
I know,
and
right?
And all of these other, you know, studio movies, some for the WB, because they're doing, they were making fun of the green costume from
Green Lantern
and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
They were making fun of Fox as the studio that inexplicably sewed Deadpool's mouth shut
in the last movie, right?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're taking all these pot shots, and it really just makes me think, like, Fox just went, okay, here, go do it, and now we're going to get something awesome because of that.
That's amazing. Yeah, did you see that? The trailer for the trailer?
Yeah.
Where it was Deadpool just basically, like, narrating the trailer? Yeah. That jab about, you know, Fox inexplicably sewing his mouth shut was just great. But it's so funny because it is so meta, everything with it. I mean, it's very much like the Deadpool comic.
Which is what Deadpool is.
Exactly. Because that whole sequence, which we talked about with the leaked trailer, where he's like, just can my costume not be green and CGI or whatever or animated? Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, did you see what else they did to tie it back to the Fantastic Four now? They released either Tuesday or Wednesday, they released an extended look at Fantastic Four, which, again, when you all of a sudden release a 4-minute trailer 2 days before your movie debuts, not a good sign.
Yeah.
And to even further it not being a good sign, the end of the trailer, Deadpool hijacks and advertises that you can come see Fantastic Four and his trailer will be on it. So they're trying to sell tickets.
I didn't even know
to their
that.
Fantastic Four movie by telling people that you can come see this Deadpool trailer.
Did you notice the change in the marketing for that movie? Like, we always heard early on about this movie how it was going to be very unlike the comics. They weren't using the comics. They were purposely told not to read the comics because Trank wanted to do something different than that. And it was going to be a very almost depressing kind of story of these guys having... What was it like? They weren't like superpowers. They were like disabilities that they were dealing with, and that was kind of like this dark tone of this movie. And the first couple trailers kind of reflected that, this very dark tone. It didn't look like a Fantastic Four movie at all. Like the most recent trailers, now they've got like this hip hop music playing, and they're showing all these flashes, if I can talk, of like some action that might be happening in the movie to try to trick you. Like, hey guys, look, it's a superhero movie. Everybody look over here. It's a superhero movie. It almost feels like they're trying to, like, you know.
For sure. And it really makes me wonder what the final product is going to be.
Yeah.
Because part of me thinks, well, they're changing the marketing around to try to get people in seats.
Yeah.
To try to have at least a big opening weekend before they falter.
Right, if
it's as bad as they say it is. And kind of go just whatever they have to say to get people to... Now, part of me also thinks... I've read a lot of stories about this movie all the way through the whole production thing.
Yeah.
And at the beginning... they would talk about the stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
You haven't heard anything about that in a long time.
Yeah.
In the beginning, they were talking about Doom being a hacker named Domachev or something like that. Now, in a couple of these reviews I read today, they actually mentioned Victor Von Doom. Now, I don't know if that's specifically how the movie lists him or if they were just, if it was somebody who knew who he was and they were, you know. But, like, if he's actually Victor Von Doom in this movie and if he's actually... if he's not just some butthurt internet kid, like they were always making him sound like he was supposed to be,
yeah,
that means that, because you know they did a bunch of reshoots on this thing.
Yeah.
Like, that was publicized, too.
Yeah.
And I have read several stories in the last couple of weeks. It's all weird stuff, the way they do things, because they talk about Trank, and they talk about the reshoots, and they're talking about how, you know, everybody says he was on board at the reshoots, and he was in charge of everything. Because if they don't say that, then there's all sorts of trouble that's going to come from the Directors Guild, which I don't know how any of that stuff works anyway.
Weird, yeah.
Because it would seem to me that if your director is not cooperating with you and agreeing to make the movie like he's supposed to make, then there's nothing you can do except for just go shoot new scenes. But apparently if they just go shoot new scenes without the guy, that's for some reason trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't understand like the inner workings of the guilds or how that stuff goes, but you just hear all this really weird stuff that makes you go, man... I don't even know at all if the movie we're actually going to see resembles what was originally pitched to the company and what they actually went and shot, or if Fox did see it or see parts of it and go, good gravy.
Holy moly.
And had to go and actually like redo huge chunks of this movie. Because I'm getting the feeling like the Doom we're going to get. I'm not getting the feeling it's going to be a good Doom.
Yeah, but I am
getting the feeling that they... drastically altered what they had originally shot.
Probably.
To try to make it less stupid.
You notice that he's practically absent from all the advertising. Yeah. They don't even, like, mention Doom. There's, like, that one scene where you kind of see Doom and he looks terrible.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like Dr. Doom.
Nope.
But, like, he's just completely absent.
It's not even that he doesn't look like Dr. Doom. He doesn't look good.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But he's completely absent from the marketing. Like, they're not even basing any like, straight up, those trailers don't do any good of telling you what this movie's about. You don't get any sense of a story from it. The only thing you kind of get from it is, oh, Reed Richards has always been smart.
Yeah.
Because they show the scenes of him as a kid building things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're in these black, not superhero suits. Because that's the Hollywood go-to. The old Hollywood go-to.
Yeah.
Come on, Fox.
And they're the ones who originated that.
I know. Well, they went back to it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, superhero suits are unrealistic, so we'll put you in these skin-tight black suits, which are realistic? I don't get that mentality.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Because
everybody just wears leather.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Scientists.
Yeah. Yep.
Skin-tight black suits. Yep. That's what they wear all the time.
Yep.
Ah, so, it's ridiculous.
I don't know. Like I said, I can't say anything. I'm really curious to see what some of this stuff is going to be like.
Because I am, too.
I read a lot about movies and have for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't... hear stories about production nightmares like you're hearing about this movie.
Yeah,
you just don't, hardly. And anytime you come anywhere close to hearing stuff like that, it is an absolute dud of a movie when you see it.
Yeah.
The only exception I can think of off the top of my head was World War Z.
Oh my gosh,
World War Z went through a bunch of trouble. It went through production delays. They had to push release dates back. And it had all of the... telltale signs of a movie that was just going to be an absolute disaster, and then it opened up and was pretty good and made a lot of money. And everybody, because even I remember the reviewers at the time were being like, oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, we were sure that wasn't going to be good, but that was okay, you know? But I can't think of another thing that comes even close to that. And the stuff we hear about Fantastic Four blows anything you heard about World War Z out of the water.
Really?
You know, yeah.
That's crazy.
So...
well, there you go, guys. Worstastic 4 is in theaters this weekend, so have fun going to see it.
Yep. If you do go see it, let us know what you think.
Definitely let us know what you think.
Try, like, go before noon when they're cheaper or something. Just try to keep the box office down until we know if it's good or not.
That's right. That's right. We will definitely be going to see it at some point next week, and then we're going to podcast on it right away. So
Get
ready. Yep. Well, all this talk, look at this. We've already spent 20 minutes of this episode. We haven't even seen it yet.
I got goosebumps.
We're already, we've got so much to say about this movie. I can't wait till we can actually review it. So, awesome.
I'm just hoping, if nothing else, it makes me really look forward to Suicide Squad.
it might, yeah.
We're like, well, nothing will be that bad.
So let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about Deadpool. We've talked about it just a little bit here, but we talked about the leaked trailer in the San Diego episode, because there was a leaked trailer. Well, that trailer has now officially been released, and you likely have seen it by now because the whole internet is talking about it. It actually debuted on the Conan O'Brien show, and what I thought was kind of neat about it, I actually caught it on Conan by total happenstance. Like, I was flipping channels and caught them right as they were getting ready to start it, and I went, oh! So Christina and I sat there and we watched it, and I got to watch it on TV, which was really cool. One thing I thought was neat is that they actually played the Red Band trailer on Conan.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Like, Conan, that episode of Conan was rated TVMA because they were playing the Red Band trailer, and the only thing they did was bleep out the curse words. But the trailer was still fully intact as the Red Band trailer. All the violence was there, all the other inappropriate words that aren't quite curse words, but words that you don't normally hear you know, like a Conan O'Brien show, were plenty.
Now, there was
a plenty.
There was just a hint of nudity in the trailer. Was that on TBS?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Wow.
It was.
Wow.
Because I was shocked. Yeah. I was like, I cannot believe we're seeing this right now.
Yeah.
It was awesome seeing the trailer, like actually seeing the trailer. I'm still very, very excited for that movie. I got to tell you that watching the trailer with Christina was priceless. Because the trailer ended and I was like, smiling and happy, and I turn and I look at her, and she's staring at the TV dumbfounded. Like, her mouth is gaping and she's looking at the TV, and then she looks at me and she goes, does Deadpool really say things like that? And I was cracking up. I was just like, yes, honey, he does. That's exactly how he is in the books. He's going to be pretty crude in this movie. Like, that's how it is. It was pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
Man, that movie.
You know, I sat there yesterday, like, two times throughout the evening because, the trailer debuted Tuesday, and Monday, the trailer for the trailer debuted online.
Yeah.
Which was Deadpool sitting in a big fancy chair with a pipe
that
he couldn't get in his mouth. And he was, you know, he was doing the voiceover trailer thing, you know, and he's like, in a world. And he says something about, you know, from the studio, that inexplicably sewed his mouth shut in some Wolverine movie or whatever, like we talked about earlier. And he talks about how it's like 20 seconds. He just basically says, hey, my trailer's coming tomorrow and it's going to be on Conan. And that's where you can see it, you know. And all I took from that was the headline that I clicked on before I even saw it, which was, you know, Deadpool trailer coming Tuesday. Trailer for trailer here now.
Yeah.
And I watched it. So Tuesday, not all day, but there were several times throughout Tuesday, at least two after I got off work, I know, where I was sitting on the couch and I went, ooh, I haven't watched that Deadpool trailer yet. And I'd go search for it and be like, oh, it's not out there. I wonder, that's weird. It's got to come out at some point today, right? Why isn't it out there? And then I did it again later and then nothing. And then the next morning, I checked the internet and of course it's everywhere and they're like, just as promised, it debuted on Conan. And I was like, yes.
You knew then, that.
Yeah, I knew that. It wasn't coming out till 11, yet I'm still looking for it everywhere all day, so I'm a moron.
Oh, man.
But then, you know, I got to watch it, and yeah, very cool.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. It's just going to be so different than all these other comic book movies we've seen.
It's
going to
be so much fun.
It's going to be so much fun. Like, I can't wait.
I doubt it's going to be my favorite Marvel character movie by any means or anything like that, or my
but
favorite comic book movie,
it's gonna
but it's going to
be
a lot
fun
of
ride.
Fun.
Yeah, it's just going
it
to be.
And like you said, it's sort of different. Kind of harkening back to like that Punisher Warzone movie, which was one. And I'll tell you right there, I would have been, if I was podcasting back then, I would have had the exact same reactions to that movie as I've been having towards Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh.
I would have said the exact same stuff.
We went and saw
that
movie.
Yeah, I can admit when I'm wrong, or I don't know if wrong is the right word, because that probably wasn't a good movie, but I loved it because it was bananas. That Punisher Warzone movie?
Yeah. I remember, because we went and watched it. I think we went to a late night showing of it just because it was one of those things where it's like, well, we can go see this and it won't cost us anything and it's a Marvel movie. It's going to be awful, but let's go laugh at it.
We're
going to
watch it anyway, so we might as well go watch it.
And then it was so fun because it didn't take itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. It was just this guy killing people in extremely violent ways. That's all it was.
It was a Punisher comic.
It was Punisher, yes.
Because Punisher's had a lot of... I mean, I like the Punisher character. You can argue that he's never been much of a character. He's mostly just this killing machine, and the comics get kind of repetitive. It's all about taste at that point.
Yeah.
But I like him. And I really liked that Thomas Jane movie, which I felt took that character and put him into something that was watchable in a two-hour span that you could actually get behind and care about. And I think it did a really good job. And then so when Warzone came out, I was like, well, this doesn't look anything like that. This just looks like nonsense, and I thought it was going to be terrible. And then I watched it, and I'm like, you know, there are some very good character-driven Punisher stories I've read, and I think the Thomas Jane movie was a decent interpretation of one of those. There are also a lot of just flat-out bananas Punisher stories I've read that are pretty much just one-shots, one-issue comic where he has a bad guy he's going after, brutally murders a bunch of his henchmen, then kills the bad guy, and then the story's over. And that's what Warzone was.
Yeah.
It was just one of those real quick, hey, here you go. People are exploding. It's hilarious.
You remember the parkour guy that was flipping all over the place, and then he hit him with the bazooka and just blew him up
in mid-flip.
And how hard you
laughed.
I
will never forget that.
In
I'll forget your name before I forget that.
In more recent movie news, do you remember when that Velociraptor got blown up in much the same way, and you laughed just like this in the movie theater? That was great, because we were watching Jurassic World in a packed theater, and that Velociraptor got bazooka'd, and John laughed just like this, but he was the only person in the theater that laughed. So it was entertaining for me.
I just saw it again Sunday and did the same thing. I forgot it was going to happen.
I always love it when that happens.
Man.
Like when something makes you laugh, but nobody else in the theater does. That's always entertaining for me. Yep.
I went there to enjoy myself.
Yeah, yeah, right? Oh, man.
Oh,
good stuff. Yeah. Deadpool, I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it'll be really awesome. Cool. It'll be something we haven't really seen anything quite like that, at least in a very long time.
Right, exactly. Cool. Was there anything else specific movie related that we needed to get to today?
No, they did a couple of casting announcements and stuff for some of those DC shows. I think Channing Tatum's wife is going to be playing Lucy Lane on that Supergirl show.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I've kind of done that thing now. I keep seeing things about, they're posting new clips of that show, and I keep getting excited, ooh, I want to see a new clip of that show, and then I think, you know what? I saw that first really long trailer, and it kind of blew me away, and now I sort of want to just stay away from trailers for that show now. I already know I want to watch the show. So now I kind of just want to watch the show, because I feel like if I watch all these clips, I'll have seen the first three episodes.
I know. I haven't watched much more since that initial thing, and I'm just going to kind of leave it at that.
Yeah,
I think,
exactly. And so that's kind of where I'm standing there. And then I didn't really recognize the people from much big stuff, but they cast Hawkman for Legends of Tomorrow, and they cast Vandal Savage for Legends of Tomorrow.
Man, I got to get going on those DC shows.
Yeah, you need to catch up, because it's going to be, after this year is when it's going to be hard to catch up. Like right now, here and now, you got to watch two seasons of Arrow and you're caught up and you can go forward. If you wait till after this year, you'll have to watch three seasons of Arrow, two Flashes, and yeah. Well, I guess technically, I'm just thinking of Netflix. Technically, right now, it's three Arrows already and a Flash.
Yeah.
But on Netflix, there's only two Arrows. So if you start right now, you can catch up before the other two hit.
Okay.
And then you're halfway there.
I gotta get going.
But yeah, after this season, there'll be four Arrows, two Flashes, and that Legends Tomorrow.
Now I just need the time.
Exactly. So you gotta shoehorn it in somewhere. Because I did also read, which I thought was cool, I didn't know how they were doing that, but that Legends of Tomorrow is going to be a show that doesn't debut until, I think, spring of next year or January or something like that. So they were mentioning that at least most of those characters have already shown up in the other shows. But they were saying that Vandal Savage and Hawkman will both be making their debut in some big Arrow and Flash crossover event.
Oh, cool.
And from that, Legends of Tomorrow will spawn, I think.
Awesome.
So
that's really cool that they're doing that kind of stuff on
the
TV.
Man, I like that Arrow show.
Neat.
It's very good.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into all these questions and topics.
We've had a bunch. Thanks for all the response, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. We love it. Some of them are just some comments that I want to read, but we've got some good questions, too. So let's see what we got here. I'm going to go ahead and start.
Take a giant water break while you're reading.
Take a giant water break. I want to start here. Nicholas wrote in just to say, I bet if they released the unreleased 1994 Fantastic Four movie, it would make more money than the 2015 worst-tastic Four would. Just a thought.
And he's referring to that Roger Corman.
Yes.
Fantastic Four from 94 when, I don't even remember what the studio was called, but I'm sure it's an internet legend. I'm sure you all know it. But basically, someone had the rights to make Fantastic Four movies, someone outside of Marvel, long before Marvel ever even thought of trying to make movies. And it was the same things we talk about nowadays. If they don't make a movie in such a certain amount of time, the rights revert back to the original source. And whoever it was who owned them didn't want to lose the rights. So they immediately threw together the lowest budget 90 minutes they could get on film that would classify as a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
Immediately then refused to release it because it was so bad, but it counted contractually as them making one. So they got to keep the rights for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Which, of course, then they ended up never doing anything with.
Right, right. So that comment made me laugh, but it also made me think, huh, wouldn't it be fun if we also sat down and watched that movie and then podcasted about it afterwards? So that way we can do our Worst-tastic Four podcast and then that Fantastic Four, and then we can decide which one is more Worst-tastic.
Oh, I like it.
Well, that'd be pretty fun.
And, you know, a fun fact, I have actually never seen that Corman one.
I have only seen parts of it.
Yeah.
I have never seen the whole thing all the way through. I specifically remember trying to watch it and going, oh, this is bad, and like not being able to get through
it. Well, I remember hearing about it when I was a kid, because I would have been 14 when they made that, so I guess I was a little bit more than a kid. But, it must have been my mid-teens, and I always related it to that, you know, somewhere near the same era they did a Captain America movie. Which at the time, outside of the actual, you know, huge budget Superman and Batman.
I forgot about that Captain America movie.
Outside of that Superman and Batman movie, there was nothing even remotely like Marvel related that was a real movie. So I always liked that Captain America movie. I haven't seen it in 25 years.
I want to watch it.
It's probably awful. But when I was a kid, I really liked it because it was Captain America, you know?
Yeah.
And so I always thought when I heard at the time, there's a Fantastic Four movie out there, I gotta see it. But this was before the internet was a thing and you could find stuff like that.
Yeah.
You had to go to a convention and pay $80 for a bootleg
from the bootleggers.
Of it, you know?
Yeah.
So I just never did. And then when the internet became a thing and I figured out that you can go and see all this stuff, you know, somebody's got it out there now somewhere on YouTube. It's probably on.
Probably.
I just never took the time to sit down and actually do it because by then there were real Fantastic Four movies out.
Oh, so, we gotta do it.
So yeah, we can. It's gonna be a lot of time commitment for next.
That
week.
Would be time commitment, but I think that would be fun.
Right.
Maybe the same week, but
say,
like
we promised the theatrical.
We got a theatrical one for sure, but we'll see if we can do the.
I think
the
I just said one. I promise it tomorrow. It won't even be out
not tomorrow.
So we promise it next week.
Next week. Next week. All right, next question comes from Michael, who says, Dan and Jonathan, just wanted to write in to say how much I enjoy the podcast. Thanks. He goes on to say, with the resurgence of nostalgic action figure lines of past decades like Reaction and Pop Vinyl, what movie or property that you enjoyed as a kid but never had a toy line produced would you like to see? That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Especially since we talk about movies all the time. So
it's a tough question.
It is a tough question. Can you think of any movies from when you were a kid that you would have loved to have toys from?
You know, 10 years ago, my easy answer would have been Ghostbusters, but now we have those now.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Like, he talks about the resurgence in here. There is so many toys now of movies from then that we did want as kids. And I think part of the reason is because we all grew up and started making the toys we wanted. So,
exactly.
The people working for these toy companies are making what they always wanted.
Because another one that springs into mind is Back to the Future, but those are coming now.
Yes.
They're not out yet.
They are
they?
Out, yeah.
Oh, they are
Funko,
out? Okay.
Funko released some in the Reaction line.
But they've got their own, like a more legit, legitimate's the wrong word, but like a more detailed
not
is it
yet.
Just the Funko ones?
Just those ones so far.
Well, then I wouldn't mind seeing a more detailed.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. There was rumors of Mattel doing that back when they did like the hoverboard and stuff, but nothing really ever came of it. So it would be cool to see that for sure. Another one that would be awesome that you mentioned earlier, which just got the Reaction treatment also, is Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
That's something else that I think a lot of people always wanted toys of.
And I had a McFarlane, like the movie Maniacs line or whatever.
Yeah.
They did like a John McClane.
Oh, yeah.
You know? but a whole line of Die Hard. You know, if I could get a Hans Gruber, I'd have a Hans Gruber on my desk today if it existed.
That would be cool.
You know, yeah. So that would be kind of cool. And another thing I just sort of like flashed through my head right here, just for the sake of nostalgia and whatnot, I wouldn't mind the idea of like a John Hughes line. I don't think they've ever done anything like that. But not necessarily any one of his movies, but like some of The Breakfast Club and the 16 Candles and like any of that stuff.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more of that.
You know,
we are getting Home Alone figures now NECA. NECA's doing Home Alone.
Really?
They just announced them at Comic-Con. So we get that coming at least, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about.
But some of those older '80s teen movies, like a Ferris Bueller.
Yeah,
like that'd be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah. Just some of those teen movies. What about some more of those crazy action movies? Like you think of Mad Max and stuff like that.
I don't know. I just sort of assumed.
I don't think there are any official like action figures from any of those. Are there? Because I just feel like those characters would look like cool toys
for sure.
Or like, what about like Running Man or some crazy stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, some of the old Schwarzenegger
toys.
Yeah,
some of the old Schwarzenegger
stuff.
Could
be really cool.
We did get a lot of Schwarzenegger toys, but there was a lot of movies of his that didn't get toys.
What about a Riggs and Murtaugh action
figure?
Oh,
yeah, right?
Some Lethal Weapon, that'd be cool.
Lethal Weapon would be cool. And then I was also thinking stuff like on the Jim Henson front. I always really loved movies like Labyrinth and Dark Crystal. And NECA did do a couple Labyrinth figures of like eventually the only like few they did like the Goblin King, David Bowie. They did a David Bowie, which was kind of cool. But like Dark Crystal, like there's so many weird creatures and characters in that movie, and that was supposed to get a toy line in the 80s and it never happened. And I know that Funko has like said that they're doing it or they're trying to do something now, so I'm fingers crossed that they do get Dark Crystal out in reaction, because I think that would just be awesome. I would love to see those as
well. Like
I
said, that'd be with so many characters inside and background stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be like a Star Wars line almost.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, there's so many weird creatures in that movie, and they're so neat looking. So, but it's getting harder and harder to think about it because we just got Jaws, for goodness sakes. I mean,
which is so funny.
Right? I mean, they're doing everything now.
It's
awesome.
A shark.
Yeah, here's a shark.
Yeah.
It's your official Jaws figure. It's amazing.
But it's got the label.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool.
Before we move on to the next question, you brought up the Muppets.
Yeah.
And it reminded me. I know we're not really into celebrity gossip on this show.
Oh.
But I did read today that...
I heard this news.
Yeah, Kermit and Miss Piggy have officially announced their separation.
No!
Yeah.
So. Everything from my childhood is ruined.
Everything.
Everything. Ruined. Thanks, Kermit and Piggy.
Have you seen some of the stuff for this new show they're doing?
No, I haven't. I've heard some things.
It looks bananas.
It sounds weird.
It sounds like very... It's not really kid-themed. It's like primetime network show. Like Modern Family, but with Muppets almost.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a lot of stuff about it, but everything I've seen has made me really excited.
I hope it's good.
This could be a very funny show.
I'm a little worried. I don't want them to.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Obviously, they announced this news today because they're making fun of all of the other...
Yeah.
You know, because you hear stuff like this every day. Somebody's divorcing, somebody's breaking up, somebody's splitting, whatever. And I'm sure, story-wise, it'll probably lead right into...
Yeah.
Some of the stuff they do in the first episode, because I have seen the previews where they're getting the gang back together, which is always the Muppets thing, you know. But, you know, Piggy decides to do the show and comes back in and doesn't recognize anybody but Kermit, you know. So Gonzo's sitting there being like, we did how many movies together? You know my name? And she's just like, Steve?
Oh my gosh.
It looks really funny. But it's making me more excited because now that they're doing, I mean, maybe this was just a quick marketing jab and that's the end of it. But if this is going to be a show that is just about the Muppets lampooning Hollywood, I'll be really excited.
Oh, man.
That could be super fun.
Now
I just hope it lasts more than 3 episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it because I'm a big Muppets fan, too.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think it'll be fun.
That's just one of those things I'm afraid, like, if it is what I think it's going to be, that'll be great. But then also, if people get it.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Because I'm also afraid that if people don't know what they're walking into, they're going to turn it on and be like, this looks weird, and then just go back to...
Right. Or like if a bunch of kids watch it and it's not a kid thing, you know?
Yeah.
That always kind of worries
And I'm
me
also
too.
Sure, I don't think the Muppets are going to be running around cussing or doing anything too bad. Yeah, and I don't want to see that.
I don't want that.
I don't mind if the jokes fly over kids' heads and are adult-themed or centered, but I don't want them to be dirty or not unfriendly to kids or anything.
Right.
So sorry, quick aside that just reminded me of it.
All right, well, the next question comes from Jack Starrow, and this is kind of a long one, but this is a good one. He says, I got a question for you. It's a little complicated. It's on the theme of whether it's better to replace, recast, or reboot.
That's a good question.
So, elaboration. Here we go. With cinema audiences these days getting used to the idea of reboots, what do you think is realistically the projected lifespan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And do you think it would be desirable for them to eventually reboot their whole lineup in a crisis-style film and begin again with new actors playing the same characters, or just gradually recast them as they've already done early on with Hulk and War Machine? Because obviously the problem is that with films slated practically up to 2020, actors like Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. will either get too old, want to quit, or demand too much money. Of course, the option exists for them to do legacy characters like in the comics and have Bucky or Falcon take over as Captain America, Jane or Beta Ray Bill become Thor, bring on new Avengers, etc., etc. But just like in the comics, they'll eventually want Steve and Tony back as the iconic characters. So what do you guys think? Should they do stuff like replacement characters taking on the mantles, recast Steve Rogers, etc., and keep the MCU going as long as possible, or just reboot the movie universe after 10 or 15 years? Wow.
What a super question.
Really good question.
Yeah. And now we got to try to not talk that through for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we could.
Yes. Yes.
Right now, it is just such untested waters. It's really hard to say what's going to be best and what audiences will really attach to. Because I think, just like you mentioned in that terrific question. We've already shown that audiences will accept recasting and won't really put up too much of a fuss. They've done it with Bruce Banner. They've done it with Jim Rhodes,
yep,
the War Machine, and nobody really batted an eye. Now, that's very light testing, though, because they haven't done it with a Tony Stark.
Yes, exactly.
Or a Steve Rogers.
Exactly.
And that's a whole different ballgame. But you can also take some of this stuff really character by character. Because Robert Downey Jr. can play Tony Stark for another 15 years, probably, if he wants to. Because he doesn't have to do a lot as Tony to carry that name recognition. I mean, think of most of Iron Man's action scenes is just Robert Downey Jr. sitting in a dark room.
Yep.
And they just film his face. They put the screens up, you know. So it's not like it's a real physically demanding role for him, for the most part. And the way they're projecting to do it in the near future here, like with Civil War, I think he'll have a pretty reasonably sized part in Civil War, but I don't know how much action he'll actually get into, and it's not his movie. So even if he has a good-sized part, that's like, I mean, Sam Jackson had a good-sized part in Winter Soldier.
Right.
He was in like six scenes, though, you know? He doesn't have to be in a lot of it. And they're talking about using him possibly in the new Spider-Man movie. But again, not as like Spider-Man and Iron Man battle so-and-so, just sort of Robert Downey Jr. is becoming this presence in the Marvel movies, but he's not talking about doing an Iron Man 4 anytime soon or anything like that. So really, as long as he's having fun and the checks are coming in, there's no necessary need to recast Tony.
Mm-hmm.
They can just keep him running. Captain America, on the other hand, in a little bit different situation, you know, you won't necessarily believe Chris Evans as Captain America for another 20 years, unless they really push the timeline out that far.
Right.
And I doubt the guy will want to do it for 20 more years. But like you said, there's the legacy with somebody like Captain America. They've got two guys set up right now who could put that mantle on in the next movie.
Yep.
You know. So, as far as eventually, because that covers the next 10 years are covered, because they can do one or the other and be fine. But it's always going to depend on what the actors actually want to do also.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's going to, you know, they're lucky to get some of these guys for six movies.
Right.
But they can't catch anybody too far on the rise that's going to be willing to attach themselves to something for decades, you know?
Exactly.
So I don't have a good answer for this. I think we really need to get to the end of Phase 3 and see what they do with Infinity War before I even kind of decide what I personally would want to see, let alone what I think they can do.
So my thought is that Infinity War is already kind of set as the end of the current Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm setting myself up for. Now, if these movies continue to just keep making money all the way through those, they're probably not going to stop. But I kind of feel like the current storylines that are all set up are kind of heading to that as the end game of this whole big story arc between Phase 1, 2, and 3. I wouldn't be surprised to see Steve Rogers die in Civil War and have Bucky take over as Cap, or mm-hmm. even Falcon, since he did that in the comics most recently. But mm-hmm. I think I already feel like they're setting Bucky up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe with Infinity War, since Thanos is going to be the big part of that and he has a love affair with death, I wouldn't be surprised to see Steve Rogers resurrected for the final battle. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, I mean, that sort of thing happens in comics, and if they're going into the whole death thing for Infinity War, I can see that happening. So I don't think killing off characters is out of the question. I don't think replacing them is out of the question at all. I definitely already see them adding new characters to kind of flesh out the Avengers. I think we started seeing that with this new Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
Banner kind of disappeared. We don't know what's going on with Hulk yet. You know, Hawkeye went home to be with his family for a while. Tony is obviously getting ready to get into a bit of a, you know, kerfuffle with Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've already brought in War Machine and Vision and Falcon and Scarlet Witch to be like new Avengers. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Ant-Man, they've already set Ant-Man up to be an Avenger at the end of his movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. They're introducing more and more of these characters. We know Black Panther's coming. I mean, Avengers is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, which means they don't have to necessarily keep using
mm-hmm.
the Steve Rogers and the Tony Starks and mm-hmm. everything for these movies. And I think that's kind of their goal with that.
Yeah.
They want to kind of establish these other guys so that we care about them too, so that they can do more movies with just those guys if they don't have Steve or Tony or
yeah.
or Bruce or any of those guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if right now their plan is just to get through Infinity Wars. If that's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be like, that's a big, big storyline. So that almost could be like a the end kind of a storyline when this is all said and done and they win and they're victorious. Maybe some people die in that movie because that needs to be a big epic fight. And then where do they go from there? Who knows? Maybe they can do some extra little side movies of the aftermath of the Infinity War with some of the lesser characters. Or maybe they could just start some new superhero movies from mm-hmm. that point on. And maybe they can start recasting people at that point. Start James Bonding it.
They've got a library. And the Bond thing, I was going to bring that yeah. up in just a second here. Because that's what makes this question so interesting, is because everybody's done a lot of speculating on what's happening through the end of Phase 3.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of thinking about, you know, kind of what that's going to mean and where it's going to go, but I've never really looked that far beyond. And I think that's kind of the question you're asking here is, you know, short term, we sort of know what's going on. Long term, what's going to be the best bet? And it's so hard to say because, again, I think movie audiences have proven that all the things that Hollywood told them they wouldn't be able to accept for, you know, decades, that they will accept these things, you know.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
it's a good story and it's entertaining, they will take what you give them, and that's, which is good. That's what audiences need to prove, you
right,
know.
Right, right, right.
Now that they're given the chance to. So it doesn't take anything off the table, like you said. You can really do either, and I think if you do it well, people are still going to respond to it.
Uh-huh.
But what is the plan? Because then you start to think, they are sort of setting this up as one giant story, it almost feels like. So Infinity War could be the end.
Mm-hmm.
They could take a year or two off and then sort of start all over if they really wanted to. Except, I really don't think... I mean, there's two brand new movies coming out in between Part 1 and Part 2. I really don't think they're going to pump a bunch of effort into Captain Marvel and the Inhumans.
That's true.
As one note movies that don't have no possible of sequel, you know.
Well, maybe that's going to be their shift in direction after that. Maybe
they stay cosmic.
Maybe
for
they want to stay cosmic
while.
For a little while. Yeah. You know, do more Inhumans and Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel, and maybe even more Guardians related stuff, and let the Earth stuff kind of sit for a little while, and then they can revisit it at some point. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. I really have no idea what their thought process is. I don't even know if they have a thought process.
I will say, me personally, and it really, again, I mean, it really depends on where they do go with it. I mean, if they decide to put the Infinity War out there and kill everybody, cool, weird, but I'm fine with it as long as it's good.
Yeah.
But me personally, I would say I have no problems with the idea of the recasting. Just like you said, the James Bond
thing. The James Bond thing. Yep.
And that's one of those deals we've talked about for a decade plus. I've never understood why, you know, Amazing Spider-Man can have a writing and art duo for 20 issues, and then those guys both leave and a new writing and art duo come in, and Peter now talks a little different. I mean, he's still Peter, but he's got a different style to him because he's being written different.
Right.
And he looks
different.
Sometimes completely different.
Being drawn
between
different.
Yeah,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
So why would that not translate to movies? Why do audiences, I mean, they've recast big characters lots of times through history. Again, James Bond being the classic example. Nobody has ever went to a James Bond movie and went, well, this just isn't James Bond. Well, take that back. Lots of people have.
People
but
have
obviously
said that.
Not mass audiences. Yeah, you know, they accept it. So why won't you accept a new... The only problem we've had with, like, the continuing to recast Parker himself, to stick with the Spider-Man example, is they haven't just recasted him. Every time they've done it,
they've
started
rebooted
a whole new story. And even that in and of itself isn't that big of a deal, except for, like, I mean, we already saw two origin stories within 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And people are already groaning over this new one because they're like, oh, we've already seen it, except you have to keep telling them. No, they know that two origin stories was too many.
Yeah.
They know not to do a third. That's not what we're doing.
Right.
So this, really, in, was it July of 2017, will be another big milestone when we see a new Spider-Man in a new story that isn't something that's already fresh in people's minds, and how audiences react to that. Because, again, the only test subject we've had there was a flawed test, because they told the wrong story.
Uh-huh.
You know? So that'll give us more of an indication on whether people can handle that, but I don't see a problem with that. So I would say, as of right now, probably recasting these guys, there's just no good answer. There's no
it's
good.
It's tough.
Yeah,
I really think
it is going to be character by character.
I think it is too.
Yeah,
I mean, I think if we had to choose, I would say recasting over rebooting is the right.
Yeah,
right
rebooting.
Direction.
Rebooting, I don't think is a good idea
at all.
Yeah,
I'm just over reboots.
Yeah.
You know?
Recasting,
and I think,
or the legacy characters are both good options.
Yes,
rebooting is a bad option unless you stretch it out real far.
What?
Like if you're gonna reboot at all, like really, really end your story, and then you got to wait 2 or 3 years at minimum to even get started. And I don't picture these movies as big of cash cows as they are.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to take a 3-year break in between Marvel movies.
Exactly.
You know?
If they're still making money, they're going to keep making them some way.
Yeah.
And you know, and here's another thing to throw another wrench in this whole thing that we're not even thinking about. At that point, maybe they've got Fantastic Four back.
True.
Maybe they've got X-Men back. True. I mean, they if
well, think of how vast they are. Even without that stuff.
I know.
I mean, you know, who would have thought 10 years ago that you would have cared about an Ant-Man movie?
Exactly. That's
if they
the
can
thing.
Make, you know.
They have a lot of directions.
I'm still
they
waiting
really
for that Wonder Man movie.
Wonder Man and Moon Knight.
West Coast Avengers.
Where's Moon Knight?
Exactly. Exactly. So they've got so much stuff they can work with. They could go 5 or 6 years without even using Captain America. And we probably, I mean, we'd notice, but we'll still keep going to see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot of options. So I hope I think we just rambled for 15 minutes and didn't answer anything.
No, I think we kind of did though. I mean, we answered it the best we could at this point.
Yeah.
It's all speculation,
and
there's so many different ways this could go down. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah.
That's for
dang
sure.
The important thing that I just fall back on is, like I said,
at least they are finally testing audiences instead of just assuming, well, they're not going to buy that. They're really throwing some of this stuff out there. And thus far, every time they've thrown something out there, if they've thrown it out there inside of a quality product, audiences have bought it just fine. So I think the ground really is leveling out to where they're finally starting to realize, hey, we can really tell these stories as long as we put the effort into it, and the minutiae of it, people are going to go with.
Right, right. Oh, that's going to be interesting. Ooh, to I'm see. I know, now. Right? That one kind of wore us out. Yeah. It was a very, very good question. All right, this next one comes from our buddy Ryan Porter over at the Positively Nerdy podcast. He has a very important question. He wants to know, how did you get so sexy? I'm only asking because he's my friend. Otherwise, I'd have skipped that question entirely.
Good jeans, I guess.
There's your answer, Ryan. Yeah,
even though good I'm wearing jeans.
Shorts. Oh, boom, boom. And he's funny. He's sexy and funny. All right. Well, speaking of friends on podcasts, another friend of ours, a local friend, Jacob Bouvet, who I feel terrible because I can't remember the name of his podcast right now, and I was trying to find it. You don't happen to know it off the top of your head, do you?
I don't know if I've ever heard the name.
Okay, so anyway, let me ask this question real quick. Jacob wants to know, after the off-camera fiasco that has been the upcoming Worst-tastic Four, I changed his words a little bit, Worst-tastic Four... What do you think we'll see Josh Trank do next?
I really am curious for this movie to come out and to find out if we get any more specific behind-the-scenes news from it when it does. Like when Age of Ultron came out, and almost immediately you heard more candid stories coming from Joss Whedon mm-hmm. about the making of. I'm really wondering, you know, once this movie's been out for a week and they see what the box office is going to do and how people are reacting, if they'll finally say, okay, this is what happened, because we've heard such weird stories coming from behind the thing.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
The mysterious circumstances with which this dude left that Star Wars movie he had been signed on for.
Yes.
And the fact that the studio that his current movie is working on, I don't see him doing a lot, if any, of the publicity for this one. So they seem to be keeping him away from that. And they seem to be backtracking on a lot of the stuff they were having him do. The movie itself, like we talked about earlier, right, does not seem to be the movie he was starting to make.
Right.
I'm wondering if it's going to be any kind of big studio backing that this guy gets for a while. So
I'm kind of, yeah.
We might be seeing a couple of passion projects from him in the near future.
I'm with you. And I was saying the same thing about the Star Wars thing. Like, I don't feel like he stepped down from that Star Wars movie. I kind of feel like this is all a big snowball effect from Worst-tastic Four.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, the timing of it just seems real weird.
It's real suspect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to go ahead and give them a shout out. The name of Jacob's podcast with his buddies is The Bystanders. It's a comic book podcast, so you can check him out on facebook.com/The Bystanders Show. And since I did that plug, also go check out Positively Nerdy from our friend Ryan Porter. You can find them on iTunes, I know that for sure, and Stitcher. Good show. He also talks about movies and stuff. So, all right, we're going to move on to our next question, which I now have to get back to. Thanks, Jacob.
But don't blame him, because we didn't take good notes.
Nope, it's Jacob's fault. It's Jacob's fault. okay, here we go. Joe Ryan first asked, can we talk toys? I said, yeah, we can talk toys.
For sure.
Let's talk toys. So, his question is, what's your take on Chase figures? Do they help or hurt the toy line? I'm not talking exclusives that are only available at such and such store or conventions. You know, the more than one in 10 cases kind of thing. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I know we rarely see these in action figure lines nowadays, but I know that blind box and vinyl figures do it a lot. I was just curious if you thought that that really helped the toy line or if it hurt the toy line. I know you've had some experience with the Chase figure thing because mm-hmm. you were buying Marvel Legends and stuff in the Toy Biz era, right?
And I didn't realize they weren't doing that anymore.
So it's really kind of disappeared. It's not nearly like it was. Like in the Toy Biz Marvel Legends days is the days that I specifically remember the Chase figure being this big thing. Because that line specifically always had like the translucent phasing vision, which was like
yeah.
1 in 10 cases. And I think there was a Wonder Man variant where he mm-hmm. was like translucent
yep.
purple.
Yep.
You know, so they
and
did that.
Like wasn't the Yellow Daredevil? Like,
Yellow Daredevil was yeah. so scarce when it first came yeah. out. I remember us, because he was kind of like the first Chase figure, and that was before it was even called Marvel Legends. It was still Spider-Man Classics at that
oh,
point.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were all Spider-Man related characters. Yeah. And Yellow Daredevil was kind of like the first one that made us all frantic yeah. and trying to track it down.
And eBay was not. It was still pretty young.
Pretty
and
young.
It was the and biggest it w- thing on
there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I've always hated Chase figures like that.
Yeah.
Currently, the biggest, I think, culprit of the Chase figure right now that I can think of, and this is just kind of based on my own interests, Mattel does it with their Masters of the Universe Classics line, where they release a Chase figure. Like specifically this year, they've got the Spirit of King Grayskull figure, which is the same figure of King as King Grayskull, except they put him in glow in the dark plastic. And the way they do their Chase figure is he's randomly available on MattyCollector.com at certain points throughout the year, but they don't tell you when. And he's only up there for a little bit of time so you can order him, and then they take him down.
So you just have to go there every day.
You just
day
have
for
to
no
know.
Reason.
You have to yeah. stumble upon it, or you have to hope that somebody, you see somebody posting about it online. It's frustrating as yeah. heck, you know? Yeah. And I don't understand really the reason for it, and I've never understood the reason for Chase figures like that, except when you're talking about the blind box toys. And the blind box thing is what you're mentioning also in here. Blind box, I've talked to you before how blind boxes have really become this big thing now. And I think the reason for that is because they're kind of more inexpensive. It's easier to kind of pick up a blind box and you get a little surprise toy inside. You know what mm-hmm. you're getting. So a lot of these companies like Funko and stuff that does these blind boxes will oftentimes have figures that are a little more rare. They'll be like 1 in 72 boxes. And the reason why I think it is beneficial for blind box toys is because now you're going to buy more blind boxes to try to find that one guy. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different than like hunting.
Yeah.
Looking at the stores to find it, and if you find it, you'll buy it. Because in the blind box case, you're going to be buying yeah. these blind boxes trying to find it.
It reminds me of like when, I'm sure 100 things did this, but specifically Marvel and DC, when I used to collect like their trading cards when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And they always had, you know, there's 130 trading cards in the set, but then there was 9 holograms.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
the
holograms
are one. And you would. You'd collect all 130 of them, and you'd still go buy 10 packs.
Right.
Looking for that one hologram. You right. had. And that does make sense. And it's feels a little dirty to me.
It is.
But
and
at the same time, I mean, it is a sales
It's
technique.
A business thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And I don't think they're really hurting anybody.
No.
It's just one of those, it gets the collector in you kind of fired up for it.
It gets a little tough, like a good example of one that's kind of a little bogus. The Loyal Subjects, which is a great company. They make awesome minifigures, blind box figures. They just recently did a line of Power Rangers ones. And the Green Ranger is a Chase figure. And I want to also say the Black Ranger is a more rare figure. And that's one of those things that's just like, you want to collect the whole team yeah. of Rangers yeah. and not being able to get the Black Ranger or especially the Green Ranger, who everybody loves the Green Ranger.
Yeah.
You know, he's like everybody's favorite. And the fact that he's the hard one to get, that makes it a little frustrating, you know?
Yeah.
So I can understand it from a business aspect. I think when it comes to blind box toys, it does potentially help their sales. I think that's why they do it. But it doesn't make it any less frustrating for the collector.
Yeah, and I think that's where it kind of hurts the line on any of that stuff. Because it's a little bit different, and I don't know how much these things cost. But, I mean,
right.
a pack of cards used to be like a buck.
Yeah.
So you could take a $10 allowance and blow it trying to find that hologram, and it wasn't that big of a deal. But if you're talking about like a $6 figure, or maybe even more.
Sometimes up to $10
yeah,
on
you
those
know,
things.
And you got to spend $150 and hope that one of those 15 is the Green Ranger you're
yeah.
looking for.
Yeah.
That gets a little absurd. And then what are you going to do in this day and age anyway? You're not going to go buy 10 minifigures. You're going to go to eBay.
Exactly.
And you're
like
just going to spend a premium to get that one.
Which doesn't help the toy company.
Exactly.
They're
not
getting that
all.
Money.
Not at all.
The guy that happened to find one who put it up on
yep.
eBay is getting the money.
And that's the same thing with the Chase figures. And that's why I never understood them even
yeah.
when I was collecting. Because like you said, I'm not going to go. I mean, the average collector or the average kid who a lot of this stuff was still marketed to,
mm-hmm.
I think, is not going to go order a case of these figures to hope that they get the chase that's like one per three cases, you know?
Right.
Collectors will, because they're going to sell the rest anyway.
Yeah.
Collectors will also be the guy camped out at Toys R Us.
Yeah.
So, like, the kids and the casual collectors that really want this stuff are not going to buy more of your toys to get them. Now, yes, will they think about your toy line more? Will there be a little bit more publicity? Will people be talking about it? Yes, and all that's always good. Recognition of any kind when you're in sales like that is always good. If people are talking about your product, they're also going to be buying it. It's in their head.
Yep.
So on that level, yes, it's probably helpful. But on an actual, just like direct sales level, the only people that's helping are the guys on eBay.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why you would want to frustrate all of your loyal customers just to make a few extra bucks for some of the resale collectors. You know? And I'm not necessarily opposed to resale collectors either, unless they're the guys camping out at the store all day to grab everything for themselves, you know, because that's frustrating also. But
it's frustrating.
In and of itself, if you find something rare and there's a demand for it, I don't have a problem with you grabbing it and selling it. Cool, whatever. But from a company standpoint, like you said, I don't know why you would want to make everyone who wants to buy your stuff mad at you.
I know. You're right. Yeah. You're right. And I agree. So I guess...
Chases are bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me see where we're at here. I think we have one more question. This question comes from Alex. And this one is specifically for you. This is a good question for you. He says, let me find where his question actually starts here. Okay, so he comes on here to say that he's been following the Geeky Easy podcast from the start. He might have watched a few of those Pixel Dude or whatever his name's videos. I think that's me. He says, Danny, your exploits are very well known to the community, but Jonathan, while you've alluded to working in the industry, can you go into depth into some of your interests and or maybe more personal projects, be it videos, reviews, blogs, etc. you've been involved in that relate to what you guys bring to the Geekeasy podcast? So he wants to know more about you, Jonathan.
Right. Well, thank you for the interest, first of all. And then I don't know where to start. I don't know what I've alluded to as far as working in the industry goes. I certainly hope I haven't oversold myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually work anywhere near, like, the Hollywood industry.
Unless he's confusing you with Ryan, maybe?
Possibly, who is sometimes a collaborator. He's a collaborator, yep. And he does work
in the Hollywood industry. Yep,
which
yep.
We'll let him talk about what he does when he can come back on sometime.
Which should be sometime in September. Right? Yeah. He'll be on the show in September. Yep.
I get to see a lot of free movies and I get to see a lot of Merle because I've worked at a movie theater for pretty much my entire adult life.
Yes.
When I was in high school, I started working there and I worked there full time for several years. And now I've got a day job and I do regular stuff, but I still, every once in a while on weekends and stuff, I'll pull shifts there. So I kind of get the background on that. And that's why when we always talk about seeing stuff for free, it's as simple as just having a job there. And then we've gotten to see a lot of stuff early over the years because that used to be a thing in theaters back in the day when we actually had the film, because it's all digital now, at least where
yes,
we are.
Yes.
But when we actually had the film, they'd send the stuff in, we'd have to put it together and watch it and make sure that nothing was scratched, that it all played right, it was put together right and all that stuff. So for several years there, we got to see everything the night before most people did, you know.
Yeah.
Which was cool. But as far as the industry itself and, like, anything I know about it, I've just read and studied how some of this stuff works for many, many years. And I really, more than a lot of other people I read who do reviews or stuff like that, I really try to figure out kind of how the business works from the business standpoint and how that relates to the project that you finally see on screen. And so sometimes I think I have a slightly different, you know, point of view or outside the box ways of looking at it because I'm also a student of business. I just, the idea of, you know, sitting down and providing a service and getting paid for it, I study up on stuff like that as well. So it's always fascinated me, since my love is movies, how do the two work together? Because with things like, I mean, you don't just get a group of guys don't just get together, write a Fantastic Four movie, throw it on film, and then release it to the public. You know, there are suits involved. There are creators involved. there are people who used to be involved in other parts of the business that have say in new things that come up. Every time these movies hit big, you have extra producers who get credit on these movies, and sometimes that means they have a voice and sometimes it doesn't. So all I do, and I don't consider myself an expert on it, I just think I read a little bit more between the lines than, like I said, than your normal just movie reviewer would do sometimes. And I find out after the fact that I'm right about my predictions. With I'm trying not to tout myself too much. I don't know everything, and I'm not right all the time.
Yeah,
I got a pretty, in my own head, I got a pretty decent track record of going, I think this is what's going on. And then when I finally see a finished product, I go, that supports my theory, you know. So, again, I don't want to, I hope I haven't given any false impressions beyond that. And I'm not touting myself as any kind of, you know, like movie genius by any means, even though I'm going to start touting myself as a movie genius.
I like it.
Because that's awesome.
Movie genius,
yeah.
Jonathan
Leonard.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Put that, give us labels.
Okay, I'll just put,
yeah,
it,
and
the,
put that on there.
Movie genius.
So, so that's it right there. And as far as interests and stuff goes, I mean, you and I and some of our friends, we used to make short films like once a year.
Yes.
Which I would love to put on YouTube or something for people to see, except I promise you, as much as we love them all, it was all inside jokes.
That's the problem with
them. You know, yeah.
We made a lot of really funny videos,
yeah,
but they are all
yeah
based on inside yeah jokes with yep our friends.
They were made
group
for an audience of about 40 people who
yeah
were all in on the jokes. You
yeah
know? So,
yeah.
So it would be absolutely pointless to even throw them on screen. And we didn't have lighting or good cameras
oh,
or anything,
no,
you know, stuff like yeah that. So, however, we've talked about getting back into that game a little bit and stuff like that. So hopefully we can,
it could be fun.
We can start doing
so
more mass audience stuff and maybe throw some stuff on the YouTube channel here and there.
That'd be cool.
Stuff like that. But so I've got some experience like shooting and editing like home movies that I think are great, but I don't think anybody else would. And I've just, other than that, I've just got really just a lot of experience of spending my time studying what's going on in Hollywood and kind of how some of this stuff works. And just as a passion, really. So,
yeah.
I hope that answers the question.
Is I think it is. Yeah. You're also very helpful on the business side of Pixel Dan. So he does that. He's a big help there, too. So, plus, we're like best friends for many years. many years. It's like, what, 15 years now or
do
something crazy like that?
Do we have to, like, hug now?
Yep. We got a hug.
Oh. Hopefully that's the weirdest moment that ever happens on this show.
And on that note, that's going to wrap it up. That's all of our questions, but we had a lot, and I
loved
it.
Yeah, that was a ton. That was awesome.
That
was great, guys.
We spent a long time discussing that stuff, but I love that because it really kind of helps us flesh out our topics on our discussion there. So
I feel like we talked so long on a couple of those, we probably just added more questions.
maybe we did.
So if that's the case, feel free,
Yes, so we definitely encourage it. Please feel free to send us your topics, suggestions, or comments, or your questions to our Facebook page. That's the best place to do it. It's facebook.com/geekeasypodcast. Give us a like. I usually put up a reminder thread the week that we're getting ready to record to let you guys know to ask some questions. That's always the best place. But if you want to message us or anything like that, or if you just want to post comments on the page, or if you want to rant and curse us out for not liking Man of Steel, you could do that if you want to. I mean, I'm not going to stop you from doing it. You wouldn't be the first to do it. So go for it. The podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher and Podbean. So whatever your desired method of listening to the podcast, please hit that subscribe button and rate us on iTunes. That way we can help spread the word on the podcast.
Only if you like us, though.
Only if you like us.
If you don't like us, don't bother rating.
If you don't like us, just go post it on the Facebook page. You don't have to put it in. And of course, I am going to continue putting segments from the show up on the YouTube channel as well, if that's the way you'd rather watch it, or if you listen to something and you hear us laughing and then you want to flip over to see what it looks like when we're laughing at something, I guess you could do that because we're on YouTube too. That's youtube.com/c/pixel-dan, or just type in Pixel Dan, you'll find my channel, and hit the subscribe button. That way you won't miss it. You won't miss out on any of the videos I do. All of them. So many. So many of the videos. Worst-tastic 4 is coming out this weekend, so we will be following up next week as promised with a Worst-tastic 4 episode. So until then, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
The movie genius.
Movie genius, Jonathan Leonard. Well, I hope I don't forget that.
Yeah, now you gotta remember.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.